On the ninth day of Christmas, my spoke bloke sent to me.
So nine ladies dancing this time, shooey. Of course, today's episode will concentrate on James Harden's nine favorite strip clubs in continental USA.
Yeah, this was an interesting one. When we first started looking at it, it was more, oh, let's have a look and see if we can find nine instances of female athletes doing fun dances and stuff.
Yeah, so we thought about jiggling Jenniky and a few different things.
There
Yeah.
was some bird in American soccer who scored a penalty and then pretended she'd pulled a hamstring and then twerked to the crowd, which was super cringy. So in the end, we thought, let's just, keep it
Low
high.
hanging
We'll
fruit.
keep it highbrow and
Yeah.
go to the strip joints. So I found quite a few different options, but I've picked the nine that I think were probably the most interesting.
You got quite a list there.
Yeah, look, there's a number of different sports. Now, look, it's no surprise that these are pretty much all America. There's one from the Netherlands that I will talk about as well, but pretty much all American stuff. They tend to go a bit crazy for the old strip clubs,
All right,
and
well.
they've got the money for it as well. Let's sort of also mention.
Fire away. I dare say there might be a gun-related incident in the stories.
There is one,
I
yes.
thought there might be.
There is one,
Yeah,
yes.
fire away. Here we go.
All right. So look, we'll start off with one from the 1990s. There's a gentleman by the name of Steve Kaplan who came up with a genius idea of creating the Gold Club in Atlanta, which would basically give athletes a, let's just say, a very decent view of the girls. So his idea was if he could get a whole bunch of professional athletes to come in, it would draw in a bigger crowd because obviously, wow, look at all these really cool people that are here. This must be a real hip place.
Makes sense.
Because I think they called it hip back in the 90s.
Yeah.
Can't bloody remember. Anyway, some of the people that actually frequented the place, Patrick Ewing, John Starks, Terrell Davis, Jamal Anderson, Larry Johnson, Dikembe Mutombo.
I was going to say about time you mentioned an Atlanta athlete. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. This is
Atlanta-based athlete. Yeah.
it. These are all guys that were flying in probably a couple of times a year, or maybe three or four, depending on where they were. But basically, yeah, a number of the dancers would kind of, sleep with the athletes.
Perform
Let's just say,
extracurricular activities.
yes, that's
Yeah.
probably a better way of putting it, as part of the deal. Unfortunately, though, in 2001, the whole thing went up in smoke. Kaplan was linked to racketeering and having ties to the Gambino crime family.
Yes.
So let's just say that club does not exist anymore.
They're the first strip club that's ever been tied to organized crime in the history of
Yeah.
the Bada Bing.
Now, number two. So in 2003, Gary Payton, who was a very, very good player, was in his Milwaukee days.
Yes, yep.
So this is sort of in the middle of playing for Seattle and getting his championship later on. The team had gone up to Toronto, and he went to a strip club called For Your Eyes Only with Sam Cassell and Jason Caffey, a couple of his teammates there.
Yeah.
Now, Payton reportedly said to one of the girls, "Come here, my whore,"
Oh.
which is not particularly great. This was a lady by the name of Vita Asante. Her fiance, Adrian, I believe it's Simpian or Kimpian, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, but we'll say Simpian
Yep.
because it's
Yeah, across these 12 episodes, we're going to mispronounce a lot of names.
a lot of, yeah. Now, Simpian was a male exotic dancer at the same club, so he was the fiance of this lady,
Oh, okay.
didn't take particularly kindly to the words, and a fight broke out. Now, unfortunately for this guy, he got his ass absolutely kicked. I believe Jason Caffey might have been the one that
Okay.
stepped in. He was like 6 foot 9 and
Yeah, big,
carved out of granite,
big bloke.
basically.
Yeah, brick shit house stuff.
And even though they sued the Bucks trio, the charges were ultimately dropped because a local judge deemed that Asante and Simpian were exaggerating and lying during their testimony, and the whole case was doubtful.
Oh, there you go.
So,
Interesting.
very, yeah, I wasn't aware of that one. I didn't know that existed, that
And
case.
apparently GP and Sam Cassell were thick as thieves, even though they played the same position. Apparently they were really great mates, yeah.
Oh, I mean, they were both winners as well. Both enjoyed being bloody good players.
Indeed. Both like talking.
They did,
I learned how to get a
yeah.
word in edgeways.
Oh. God, that would be a really rough backcourt to play against, wouldn't it? Now, the third one I think a lot of people will know about. It's the case of Playoff P,
Okay, very
Mr.
nice.
Paul George. A really bizarre one. Well, I should call him Way Off P, but anyway. In 2014, he hooked up with a girl named Daniela Radjic, who was stripping at a club called Tootsie's in Miami. It's not a really nice name for a club, is it? Tootsie's.
Well, if you're into foot fetishes,
I guess.
yeah.
Ugh. Anyway. So George actually got her pregnant and offered to pay her $1 million to get rid of it. That's much better offer than the 100,000 Anthony Edwards is offering
Yeah,
his
that's been in the
girlfriend.
news. Yeah, putting LOL
Yeah.
like in the same, just get an abortion, LOL.
Lots of love.
Yeah, well, it's, yeah,
So
okay.
it's not,
Yeah,
no.
yeah.
Yeah.
Hasn't affected his play on court, though, has it?
It really hasn't.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, so George and Radjic got into a bit of a legal battle over custody of the child, and they eventually agreed. Okay, we're going to both be there for the kid. let's sort of do this and be responsible. Oddly enough, though, in 2017, he ended up having another child with her. And 5 years later in 2022, they got married. So you know what? There is a song out there, I'm in love with a stripper, and it seems that Paul George,
there you go,
was very much one of those guys.
Yeah, yeah.
So yes.
Happy ending all around.
Happy ending all around. They've got three kids together now, so
there you go.
And you know what? I will say this. She's actually done a really good job of, look, I shouldn't say this. Stripping is obviously it's a profession. It's a job. It's something
it's a way to earn a living.
She did.
Yep.
She's now launched a whole bunch of stuff. She's done her own swimwear line and a whole bunch of other things. And she's doing really, really great things. And I respect that. So there you go.
There you go.
Good for her.
Good for her.
Now, Nath, question without notice. Where does Steven Jackson rank on your all-time Spurs list?
Not that high.
Not that high.
Obviously.
Fair enough.
I mean, he helped us win a championship, but he also caused a lot of issues.
True.
And then says a lot of bad things about the Spurs these days.
Well, that's true. Yeah. That's true. But no, you're right. He was a massive part of that 2003 ring over the New Jersey Nets.
Yep.
Obviously, we all know about the involvement in the Malice in the Palace incident as well. But a year after that, the Pacers, who were still trying to get their whole image back, had another unfortunate incident, which you might remember as well. So Steven Jackson, Jamal Tinsley, Marquise Daniels, and Jimmy Hunter broke curfew during training camp, and they stayed out at a place called Club Rio in Indianapolis. Bit of an altercation inside the club. The groups both go outside, and Jackson claims a group of guys were going to jump Tinsley, so he pistol whipped a guy with his gun.
I do remember this one.
Before being struck by a car doing 45 miles an hour.
Oh, jeez.
Very, very fast.
Wow.
Knocked him to the pavement. He lost some teeth. Jackson then stood up and fired 5 shots into the air to try and end the issue, which it apparently did. Dion Wilford, the guy who hit Jackson in his car, was sentenced to 4 years in prison for felony battery and misdemeanor charge of failure to stop at the scene of an accident.
Probably lucky to only get that long, to be honest.
2 years suspended as well. So
fucking hell.
Very, very lucky.
I mean, when you're hitting someone with a car at that speed, it's almost attempted murder. Yeah, jeez.
Yeah. Jackson was suspended for 7 games for criminal recklessness, something that kind of makes Ja Morant's 25 games seem a little bit crazier.
Mm. Well, different times, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stephen Sharrick.
That's going to be
a staple moving forward, I reckon. But no, look, obviously not a particularly great incident for Captain Jack.
No.
Now, number 5, speaking of Ja Morant.
Oh, yeah.
Before the first incident where he got himself in a bit of trouble for flashing a gun in a particular nightclub, which we're talking about right now, funnily enough, Ja showed himself to be, let's say, quite the fan of the girls at a particular club in Denver, humorously named Shotgun Willies.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of ironic.
Yeah.
So Morant splashed $50,000 and was seen basically drooling over the girls there. It does have to be said, though, the owner was very glowing in his praise of Morant and how respectful the man was.
Okay.
Obviously didn't see him holding the gun in his club, but...
Well, I dare say if he's flashing money around, respect can be bought.
Yeah, well, this is...
You know what I mean? Like,
this is true.
Yeah. But,
and the crazy thing about this, though, was this was 80 minutes after he landed in Denver.
Jeez.
After coming from Houston. So
it's like straight to the strip club. Like
1:30 in the morning, gone straight through. Yeah, indeed.
Mm.
Now, number 6. As these keep getting messier, it's time to talk about Mark Messier.
Like what you do there.
In 1994, the New York Rangers won the Stanley Cup for the first time in 54 years, and they got so rowdy that the league had to bring in a new rule as a result of their behavior.
Mm.
So about a week after they won the cup, Messier and a bunch of his teammates went to a New York club called Scores, where the cup was center stage.
Okay.
They actually took the Stanley Cup into the strip club.
And she was dancing around it.
And a lot of the dancers were using it as a prop and dancing around and carrying it around and all sorts of things. The crazy part was, though, that it's alleged by a guy named Michael Blutrick, who was a mob informant, the guys got that drunk that they left without it.
Oh, gee.
So, yes, they left the Stanley Cup in a strip club.
Oh, boys.
Luckily, it got returned. And in 1995, the NHL and Hall of Fame brought in a new list of regulations as far as where the cup could go. Strip clubs were not one of them.
What else?
Well, crazy.
The morgue.
Well, you know, I don't have the list, unfortunately. But yeah, morgue's probably not a good place to bring the Stanley Cup. Not a good place for it. This actually wasn't even the first time Messier had done something like this, though. Like in 1987 with the Edmonton Oilers, he actually brought the cup to a club called the Forum Inn, where the dancers were using the cup in dances too. So just keeps getting messier and messier.
Oh, very nice. And I won't make a joke about cup sizes at strip clubs. So.
Good. Very good.
Even though I just did.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, true. Yeah. That's all right.
Number seven,
Vince Young.
Ah, yes.
Former Texas Longhorn legend was at a club in Dallas when a worker at the club set him off like a firework. So he's in the back room of Club Onyx organizing details with the owners, kind of organizing a private room for him and a few friends, when one of the employees flashed an upside-down hook'em horns.
Which
is considered a very big sign of disrespect by rival fans. It turns out this guy was from Oklahoma, who are a very, very big rival.
Yes, Texas. Massive. Geographic, yes, as well. Yeah.
Let's just say Young did not take too kindly to it and basically rushed back into the room, threw a punch. He was charged with misdemeanor assault, but wasn't suspended by the league, which I thought was very interesting.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know if I agree with that. You think punching a dude in public and on camera as well.
Like, yeah.
I've seen the footage of it.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I think, look, very, very dumb decision by the guy.
He didn't have a great NFL career. He had an excellent college career. This didn't translate to the pros. He was okay, but
he was Tennessee. Exceptional in college.
He was. Oh, that famous championship game is just magnificent. Yeah. Really, I've got a copy of it somewhere.
I'd like to watch that.
Yeah, we did. You and I did watch it. It was against USC.
No, I'm saying I'd like to watch it again.
Yeah.
It might have been USC.
I'm pretty sure it was. Yeah, Matt Leinart, I think. Yeah.
Now, number eight is the first time we'll go overseas. We're going to go to the Netherlands and Robin van Persie.
At the Sparrow Convention.
At the Sparrow Convention. I forgot about that. Oh, that's funny.
This is so out of order. That's on the next episode. That's 10 Lords of Leaping.
This will make sense to people tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah. We're not recording in order.
So anyway, Robin van Persie, former Dutch international, Arsenal and Manchester United legend, got into a little bit of strife in 2005. So he was out at a Rotterdam club and apparently took one of the girls there to a nearby hotel and assaulted her.
Oh.
He was held in a prison cell for 2 weeks until the charges were dropped.
Okay.
So it turned out that he hadn't actually done anything wrong.
Really?
And they held him for 2 weeks.
Wow.
So that's what I've read anyway.
That's an interesting one.
I mean, the truth is often sometimes...
Somewhere in the middle,
In the middle, but it's...
So was that an extortion?
It might have been, It might have been. But either way.
Wow.
Be careful out there, people.
Yeah, okay.
No doubt. And number nine, probably the worst offender here is Pac-Man Jones.
Okay.
Oh, dear. This is horrible, quite frankly. So in 2007, over the NBA All-Star Weekend, which took place in Las Vegas, Pac-Man went to a club called Minx. Now, he took a handful of cash, we're talking hundreds and hundreds of dollars, and just launched it in the air, you know, making it rain, basically. Unfortunately, he didn't realize that when you do that, the money's gone.
Yeah. Well, and some little ghost chased him.
No, he got pissed off when the dancers started picking the money up. It's like, well, what do you expect, dude? You're at a strip club.
I'm just disappointed you didn't pick up on my Pac-Man reference about little ghost
chasing. Oh, shit. God damn it.
Yeah, that's an interesting choice. Yeah. Yeah, very good. Redeemed.
Oh, dear. So when the dancers began picking the cash up, he lost his mind. He grabbed one of the dancers by the hair and slammed her head off the stage.
Fucking hell.
Which is just so reprehensible.
Yeah.
Pac-Man and his entourage then got into a little bit of a fight with the bouncers. And after the dust settled, a little while later, one of his entourage, a guy named Arvin Kenty Edwards, came back and fired a gun outside the club, injuring three and leaving security guard Tommy Urbanski paralyzed from the waist down.
Oh, that is a Kenty act, isn't it?
It is a massive...
He's a massive Kent.
So Edwards got sentenced to, I believe it was up to 10 years in prison for various charges after pleading no contest. Jones was ordered to pay damages to the three who were injured to the sum of $11.6 million.
Just as well, yeah.
And...
Fucking hell.
The vast majority of that going to Urbanski, obviously.
Yeah. That's terrible.
But yeah, Jesus Christ, that's... Sorry to end on...
Yeah, I know.
Nobody died.
Yes.
All right.
I'm sure there's some jiggling Jenicky. She's fun and cool and nice. She dances too as a warm up before her meets. Okay, we ended nicely.
Happy New Year, everyone. Oh, God. Oh.